Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. And today's show is Starting Your Own Business Part 3. By now, you realize that we are discussing ways and opportunities to help you have and build a successful business that will last you into the future. In this show, we will identify new business opportunities. They are opportunities that can be found, how to create customers, where the gaps are in the marketplace, etc. And the thing is, today you have to look at what it is that's your passion and figure out a way that you can build a business with it. Identifying new business opportunities. An opportunity can be found within every problem. Congratulations, if you are reading this chapter, you will feel that you have the personal qualities it takes to start a business. The quiz at the end of this chapter will help you determine whether you have the business skills you need in order to start and run a business. You are now at the point where you need to answer the question, what type of business should I start? The greatest mistake people make when they start a new business is to try to sell products that they like. People who like reading want to start bookstores. People who like animals want to start pet shops. People who like to dine out or cook want to start restaurants. This may be human nature, but it is a backward approach to starting a business. The first law of entrepreneurship is you need to offer what people want to buy, not what they want to sell. Customers do not buy what you like. They buy what they want. The first step in determining what type of business to start is to do market research and to listen to the market. Too many people start a business in search of customers. This tends to be an exercise in futility. By listening to the market, you can find customers in search of a business. And here's another thing. What this is talking about is people who are opening up a brick and mortar store. Today, with technology, you have the internet at your hands, and it allows you to build a business online. And it's also understanding the technology and how to use it to help you build that successful business today. I'm doing a radio show. So what I'm going to have to go back. Sorry about the breakup in the show, but let's start back again. Now, remember, when you are building a business, you need to create customers. Customers in search of a business are people who are not having their particular needs and wants met well enough or at all. Think about your own purchasing behavior. If existing businesses do not offer exactly what you want, then either you do not buy at all or you buy the closest alternative available but continue to search for the business that will give you what you are looking for. Market research tries to identify needs that people have that are not being met. The number of people with these needs, what exactly they are looking for, how much they are willing to pay, how you want to get in touch with them, and what is the best way to get what they want to them. There are about 300 million people in the United States. Few of those people are getting exactly what they want. Therefore, there are millions of customers in search of a business. When customers finally find a business that offers what they want, they tend to thank the manager for taking their money. They also tell their friends, neighbors, and colleagues about the business. How's that for free advertising? The more you offer what people want to buy, the less they are affected by your competitors' advertisements, price cutting, or location. A high degree of customer loyalty is one of the factors that separates the winners from the losers. Also, let's stop here, and what I want to tell you, you don't need to have a brick-and-mortar store. There are many different ways that you can be in business today, but this book that I'm quoting from is a book that talks about teaching people how to start a business. And the same principles in starting a business, whether it's a brick-and-mortar store or whether it's from your home, is the same. Quite a few businesses have failed because their managers saw themselves as selling products and services. Successful entrepreneurs know that a business makes a profit only when it provides satisfaction. Numerous large firms have based their advertising programs on the marketing concept of listening to the market and tailoring their offerings to meet the needs of specific groups of customers. Toyota's slogan has been, "You ask for it, you got it." Penny's slogan at one time was, "At Penny's, we know what you're looking for." Burger King is known for its "Have it your way" slogan. When the other hamburger franchises were out of tune with a number of people's preferences, Wendy's initiated "Where's the Beef" ad campaign. When you offer what people want at a price that is fair in a reasonably convenient manner, then you are one step closer to creating a customer. You may be able to sell something you stock to some people, but you have not created customers unless they want to come back and have talked favorably about your business to people they know. When you are trying to decide what to offer, remember the saying, successful businesses offer goods and services that don't come back to people who do. And remember, whenever you look at starting a business and you don't want a brick-and-mortar store, there are a lot of places you can go on the Internet. There's a lot of companies that do multi-level marketing, but it's also word of mouth. You are sponsored in, and you have a support system that helps you build a successful business through training on building that business. Maintaining customers. To maintain customers, you need to stay in tune with them and change your business to meet their changing needs and expectations. This is a never-ending process. Even the most successful businesses lose customers on a regular basis. A rule of thumb is that the average business loses one-third of the customers each year. Customers move away, switch to a competitor whose offerings are more consistent with their desires, lose their need for such a product or service, or die. Therefore, even established businesses need to continuously listen to the market to find customers in search of a business and change their operations to stay in tune with their existing customers. New businesses and businesses that want to grow have to work even harder to establish or expand their customer base. Managers who do not listen to the market or who take their customers for granted are destined to fail. If you conduct market research on an ongoing basis,
Ma'am, I'm going to need some attention from you.
Okay. Managers who do not listen to the market or who take their customers for granted are destined to fail. If you conduct market research on an ongoing basis, treat each customer as if that person is your business's only customer and fine-tune your business to what the market wants, then you will increase your likelihood of being successful. Remember, the marketplace is like the ocean's tide. Instead of trying to change it, concentrate your attention on where it is and where it is heading. If you can sense upcoming changes and offer the market what it wants, the way it wants it, and when it wants it, you may find owning a business to be a mentally and financially rewarding endeavor.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know this is the second time I've done this, but it just so happens I've had some work being done, so I've had to cut off a couple of times, but that shouldn't happen, and we should be able to complete this show with no problems.
Okay.
Quite a few people are skeptical about whether someone can start a new business in a world that appears to be dominated by large firms. The perennial questions are, can a new David compete in the world of Goliath? And are new businesses regulated to living off big businesses' table scraps? The answer to the first question is a resounding yes, they can compete. The answer to the second question is no, they don't have to eat table scraps. Nearly every large firm was once a new small business that was able to establish itself as a world of larger competitors. Yet the most likely way to succeed is not to compete against bigger firms. New businesses should avoid competing head to head. New businesses should avoid competing head to head with larger established businesses. This is particularly true when it comes to price competition and the breadth and depth of product selection. Most large firms enjoy economies of scale. They can buy their goods in larger quantities and quality discounts. If they are manufacturers, they may be able to produce the product at a lower unit cost. Larger firms are usually able to produce the product at a lower unit cost. Larger firms are usually able to carry a broader selection of products than smaller businesses. For example, large retail stores may carry numerous brands, product breadth, and a number of models, product breadth, in their effort to attract a large number of a variety of customers. Some megastores try to offer one-stop shopping by having something for everyone. And that is true if you look at the Walmarts and the Targets and the department stores like Macy's and Filene's and Rich's or Davidson's, just a wide variety of stores. And Davidson's was a Macy's store. So remember, there's a lot of stores you may hear about that you don't hear about today, but they're still around because they've been bought out and are part of like a company like Federated. Federated has several different branches. And if you go into a mall, their main stores are their big department stores. But that doesn't mean that you can't compete. What it is you just have to give better customer service, because when people are shopping in the store, what they're buying is the customer service. If you give them the best customer service possible, then guess what? They will come back, because that's what people want. They want to know that you're concerned about who they are and the product that they offer. They really are looking more for customer service than just pricing. Your new business may have a better chance of succeeding if you do not try to compete with the larger firms on the same basis. Instead, you should try to identify things that customers want and that larger firms do not offer well enough at all. In certain cases, being bigger does not guarantee being better. Almost all large businesses have weaknesses. It is impossible to be everything to everybody. Big businesses are built on compromise. They need to generate a high volume of business to cover the investment associated with the large-scale operations that are needed to serve large markets and provide economies of scale. Economies of scale are possible only when you can serve mass markets or large groups of customers with similar interests. Walmart, Lowe's, and most other large retailers use this strategy. Ironically, their attempt to keep their costs down so they can appeal to customers via lower prices has created opportunities for smaller businesses. As already noted, most attempts by small retail businesses to compete on price alone are likely to be futile. A new venture's possibility of success will be much higher if it is willing to compete in other spaces where big businesses may not be able to be as competitive in creating and maintaining customers for a profit. Your business competitive advantage may rest on your ability to tailor your offering to a small group of customers, one market segment needs very well rather than a lot of people's or overall market's needs in a lukewarm manner. You have a better chance of succeeding if you strive to delight a few people rather than just satisfy the masses. Remember, when someone starts a little mom-and-pop store, the biggest thing that they have going for them is customer service, and this is what brings the customers back in the neighborhood. What makes department stores work is that they are there strictly with that for the same reason that when Subway started, when they opened their first store, they were not making any money. But when they opened two other stores, then all three of them were losing money. But because they had stores in different locations that were making money, they began to make and see a profit. So remember, why do department stores work? It's because they are large chains. And that's why they're able to succeed in a down economy, or at least weather the economy better than a small business. So, and this is usually the best time to start a business. And instead of looking at doing a brick and mortar store, maybe you need to look at initially doing your store through the internet and having a website, especially if it's product similar to a department store, because people are more and more buying on the internet, and they will buy from the store's website more than they will go through walk-through traffic, because a lot of department stores do depend on walk-through traffic more than they depend on anything else today. So you just got to kind of have to adapt how you look at things, adapt at how you look at business. The following example illustrates how a new business may be able to attract customers. Mary Smith graduated from Midwestern State University 10 years ago with a degree in agricultural sciences. Since that time, she has been working for the Country Agricultural Extension Service in Middletown, Illinois. The idea of having her own business has been on her mind for the last few years. Mary is considering starting a lawn and garden center because her professional life has revolved around helping people grow plants. A few months ago, Mary realized that it would be worthwhile to ask Susan Williams out to lunch. Susan was one of Mary's sorority sisters at Midwestern State University and is now a business consultant with a regional accounting firm. Mary conveyed her interest in starting a lawn and garden center and her desire to open it in her hometown. Susan informed Mary that she had already violated the first two business commandments. Thou shalt not start a business just because you like the products, and thou shalt not open a business in a geographical area just because you live there or would like to live there. Susan indicated that there might be better business opportunities and better locations. Mary insisted, however, that her mind was made up and that she was prepared to accept the risk. Their conversation then shifted to what Mary could do to increase her chances of success. One of Mary's first concerns involved how she would be able to compete against the large discount store in her hometown. Mary had learned that the garden shop at the large discount store offered a 50-pound bag of lime for $1.49. She found this disturbing because the suppliers of the brand of lime that told her that the price of, to small retailers was $1.40 per bag. Mary would have to pay more for a bag than what the discount store was selling it for. The suppliers suggested a retail price that would be a 40-cent markup in cost. That meant that Mary would be charging $1.96 for the same 50-pound bag of lime that the discount store was selling for $1.39. Mary would have a significant price disadvantage. To make matters worse, the price differential on many of the products she planned to carry was not that different from the price differential on the bags of wine. Some suppliers even indicated that her business was too small for them to supply. Mary wondered how she would be able to create and maintain customers for a profit if she had this price differential and might not even be able to carry some of the most popular brands. In spite of her frustration, however, Mary believed that there was an opportunity for a real good lawn and garden center. If she would come up with ways to beat the competition, she would continue investigating the possibility of starting a garden center. Susan used the lime example to illustrate how a small business may be able to establish a competitive advantage. She identified the following possibilities. Prerequisites to startup survival and success. Identify a target market, a specific group of customers who will be doing a lot of landscaping and who are not located within a 10-minute drive of the large discount store. Many customers are not willing to drive all the way across town to save a few cents. This is particularly true for customers who have high incomes and who value their free time. Offer bags of lime in different sizes. Who says everyone wants a 50-pound bag? Some people won't even be able to lift a 50-pound bag. Other people won't want to store what they don't use. Mary may be able to carry or create her own 10-pound bags, or better yet, sell lime by the pound. That way, she will be able to offer her customers the quality of lime that they want to buy and use rather than some the quality of lime that they use rather than some standard size that is convenient for the firm packaging the lime. Now, see, this is some things that you may consider if when you buy something from your supplier and they only have certain things and you want to give better customer service, why not break it down and let them buy it at a different a different rate, because if you could figure it out, if you're she's being charged $1.40 for a 50-pound bag, what if she turned around and she sold a pound for 50 cents or 75 cents? And you figure 75 cents times for a pound, that's 50 times 75, then guess what? She's made her money back, and she's created more of a product to sell. So think about it. You're paying 75 cents for a pound, and you have a 50-pound bag. Then you just made $37.50 off of paying a dollar off, and then you subtract $1.40, since that's what you're paying, then guess what? You just made $36 off of that. So there is your profit. That what she did was, okay, she had something that she was selling. Now, let me also tell you something. I'm involved in a company that's called Total Life Changes, and this is a multi-level marketing company. And what they're doing is trying to help people think in terms of eating healthier. And for years, what I had done was, I grew up in a home where my mother would buy white bread, and because we were Jewish, she would cook mostly fried food or mostly meat, because my father liked meat. And her staple was hamburgers, string beans, and mashed potatoes, because it was quick and easy to cook, or she would get steaks. And those things can be expensive. But what it is if you look at the proteins in them and break it down into them, it takes you time to digest. Well, then what happens was, my mother grew up in a home where my grandmother would take Ex-Lax and other things to help herself eliminate all the excesses. My mother got to the point where she wasn't taking Ex-Lax or prunes, but what she would do is she would take something like Metamucil. Well, why not, instead of taking it, is look at changing your diet and eating healthier. And if you do that, then what that'll do is that'll help you. And if you think more in eating herbs and whole grains, and, for instance, I've been living on my own for over 30 years and have been using herbs to cook with rather than a lot of salt and sugar, which is refined. And I may not be underweight, but I'm not as overweight as some people are who don't exercise, because you do need to exercise. But what I want you to do is, if you're interested in eating healthier today, if you're looking to lose weight, I want you to go to this website, and it's www.totallifechanges.com/SUCCOACH. And for just $5, you can try a week's supply of herbal tea and see if it works for you and helps you to improve and eliminate the waste from your system. And remember, a lot of foods that are processed today have parasites in them, and that's what you're eating. So now we will continue from where we were and provide a soil analysis service to our customers for free or at the minimal charge. Mary will then be able to determine whether her customers need lime and how much they need. Offer a delivery service for purchases over $20. Most discount stores either do not deliver or charge a $50 delivery fee. Rent lime spreaders for a nominal rate. After all, how many consumers want to buy a $30 spreader that will be used only once a year? Offer an application service where one of her employees would spread a lime for a reasonable fee. See, there's ways of changing how you do things. And this, what I was reading, Gummy, was some of the startup survival things, and she took five different steps. First, she identified her target market. Then what she did was she broke it down. Instead of offering 50-pound bag for sale. She offered it for either a 10-pound bag, or she broke it down even further to a 1-pound bag and let them buy just what they needed. And when she figured out that what she was selling them for, whether it be 75 cents or a dollar, then guess what? She was already breaking and making money off of just that one 50-pound bag. Then what she did was she broke it down even further to where she was going to deliver to them instead of them having to come to her store. Then she also would do something where she helped them find someone or offer the service where they would have someone come out and spread it for them rather than they have to do it themselves. Because many people who have that kind of home would rather hire someone else. And so there are many ways in which Mary can offer her customers far more than a bag of lime. The ideal situation would be a service package in which customers would call her garden center and have one of her employees come out to do a soil sample, determine the amount of lime needed, apply the lime periodically, and have it charged to the customer's credit card. This service package would cost between $30 and $50 per half acre yard. The service would be available on an annual contract basis for individual residences and institutions. Mary could offer a similar service for applying weed killing fertilizer in the spring gardening fertilizer in August and ryegrass in October. She could also offer a flower planting service throughout the year. The more that Mary can give targeted groups of customers exactly what they want, products, services, and information, the less the price differential for the bag of lime will affect her business. By offering her customers a have-it-your-way approach to doing business, she may be able to create and maintain customers for a profit. The discount store may be an average lime-related sale of less than $2. Mary may be able to generate an average lime-related sale of $25 by providing the additional services. Some homeowners do not have a clue about what they need to do to keep their yards in good shape. They are not looking for the lowest price. Mary's competitive advantage would be a providing answers to their questions and solutions to their problems, rather than just in selling them 50-pound bags of lime. It is safe to say that not all of Mary's customers would be interested in these services. This is why large discount stores would not consider offering them. Large discount stores are geared to consumers who tend to be price sensitive and willing to do the work themselves, which in essence would be my sister, because she is more concerned about the money she's keeping in her pocket due to the family in which we grew up in and their schnorrisher ways of how to do things cheaply. So they look for so remember that you may have a small business, but if you're gearing it to the needs of the people who you want to serve, then you're more likely to make money and stay in business. The problem is that when people get in business and they don't know what to do and they don't seek out the help to teach them how to do it and be successful, then guess what? That's where the failure rate is in a business. So if you are looking to go into business, why not think about hiring a career coach or someone that can be your partner in your business that you can bounce ideas off of to help you come up with ways to be more successful? Because you may know the right ways, but you may not be thinking about them, especially in the short term. But unless you give yourself time to do that, so why not look for people that can really help you? And that means, how are you going to do the things that you really need to do to make it a successful business? there are at least two other areas of opportunity for new businesses. Opportunities exist for new businesses to serve or supply larger businesses. Most large businesses rely on smaller businesses to supply them with products and services. Larger firms frequently look to employment agencies, maintenance businesses, tracking firms, and numerous other types of businesses as an alternative to performing their functions for themselves. The service part of the economy is expected to continue growing in the years ahead. This represents a particularly attractive area of opportunity for new businesses. Service businesses usually require less money to start on a small scale. Also, large services businesses may not have a cost advantage because service businesses have limited economies of scale. The relative competitive strength of smaller businesses is evident in the lawn and garden center example. At first glance, it appears that Mary was selling products such as lime, fertilizers, and plants. However, a closer look reveals that Mary's strength would be in the services she offered. What kind of businesses should I start? The following six-step process can be used in deciding what type of businesses to start. List problems in the marketplace. Identify corresponding business opportunities. Determine the needed capabilities and resources. Project the financial dimensions. Rate the opportunities in terms of personal preferences, financial worthiness, and perceived risk. Select the business opportunity to pursue. Only after you have identified the opportunities, evaluated your capabilities, and determined the potential profitability of each potential business venture will you be in a position to consider starting your own business. List problems in the marketplace. The first step in starting a new venture is to listen to the marketplace. The prospective entrepreneur needs needs to generate a list of areas where people's needs are not being met well enough or at all. And it's particularly important that you do not restrict yourself to one particular type of product, service, or geographic area. You should keep an open mind and a broad perceptual field. It has been said that a decision will be only as good as the best alternative. This also applies to starting a new venture. Your business will never be able to be any better than the strength of the market needs. This situation is similar to a horse race. Someone once observed that no jockey ever carried the horse across the finish line. Regardless of how astute you may be in business as a rider, if the market, the horse isn't there to support you, you will not go very far. You need to direct your attention to generating a sizable list of market problems. The quality of the problems is more important than their respective quality at this time. In subsequent steps, you will look at the relative quality of each problem. The market gap approach and identifying problems. Richard M. White Jr. offered an interesting approach to identifying problems or gaps in the marketplace. According to White, you can find opportunities in almost any aspect of life. He uses the example of looking at problems encountered by adults. Through a sequence of questions, White divides adult life into work versus leisure. He then narrows his focus to the time of day when adults encounter problems. In this example, he concentrates on attention to problems people encounter after work, but before dinner or weekdays. White's list of problems includes fatigue, heavy traffic, are tired and hot, clothes are rumpled and clean, the dog must be taken out to do its business, telephone solicitors are irritating, and so on. White indicates that hundreds of problems are common just during the brief leisure adult work day, post-work, pre-dinner time interval. The same market gap analysis could be applied to those aspects of life, such as adults traveling with preschool-age children via airlines, owners of powerboats over 20 feet long after the summer is over, and college freshmen moving away from home for the first time. You need to make an extra effort to avoid judging the relative merit of each problem at this time. In step one, you will only list problems in the marketplace. Step two is designed to ascertain whether business opportunities may be hidden within the list of problems. Now, here is something that I'm going to talk about that I've mentioned before. And this is something where people have created opportunities to earn an income for themselves. For instance, if you have people who work, whether they're doctors or lawyers, and they have long hours, and if they have animals, they're going to need people to come over and do the dog walking for them if their dog is at home. So that's how you can create a job for yourself. If they go out of town and they don't want to just put the dog in a kennel, then they may very well want to leave the dog home, but they need someone that they trust to come over and take their dog out and walk it for them. You see this in high-rises more than you do at home. If someone lives at home, or if someone has a large home with big grounds, they may not be able to keep up the grounds themselves, so they're willing to hire someone to come and do their grounds. That's why these are jobs that teenagers used to do, but they are something that you can create a job market for yourself. For instance, I just moved into a complex, and they just hired a new, they changed companies for their security companies. The company that came in had bought three cars specifically for this complex. Well, what they did was they had someone that they hired that what she did was she came in and detailed the cars for them with all of the things that let the people know when those cars were driving around that was the security company. So there's an opportunity that you can create a job for yourself. That's an idea of how to create a job for yourself. If you're someone who has worked, trained, and learned how to fix computers, or if that's a part of a knack that you know how to do, then you can. That's another job that you can do working from home and be independent. The thing is, you just need to advertise by going on Craigslist. There's Desi Classifieds. There's a number of sites that you can go on where you can promote your business that is free, that people will look for your business and your service. Identify corresponding business opportunities. You should now direct your attention to each of the problems or gaps that have been identified and determine whether it can be transformed into a business opportunity. One of the interesting things about this step is that each problem or gap may foster numerous different business opportunities. People who have idle time while they are in airports waiting for flights have a good example. Opportunities to reduce the idle time could include a one-hour laundry service for the business traveler who is going from city to city and wants to travel light. Map hotel that provides a Pullman-type berth with an alarm permitting the traveler to nap in privacy for an hour or more. A business service center providing fax, photocopying, access to computers, secretarial assistance, a message center, and even a private meeting room. A health club providing massage, hot tub, sauna, and so on to take the edge off traveling. One enterprising individual started a business to turn idle time into recreational time. He rented a small space and offers a golf driving range that videotapes your swing and provides feedback on your drive. Each problem area or gap needs to be exploded. into various possible business opportunities. Step two calls for an open mind and mental dexterity. The question, which businesses can I do and which ones can be profitable, should be avoided at this time. Step two deals only with whether there may be ways to address the problem. In the United States, not to mention other countries, there are millions of customers in search of businesses. Nearly every person in the marketplace has needs that are not being met well enough or at all. The people who started some of this nation's most successful businesses listened to the market. They knew that within every problem, there may be a disguised opportunity. They knew that by identifying problems in the marketplace, they would find customers in search of a business. Big problems mean big opportunities. Businesses that have become household names were started by entrepreneurs who listened to the market. They heard people saying, I wish there was a business that. Then they created the businesses to offer that what the market wanted. In the late 1960s, Perry Mendel kept hearing parents of young children express frustration over the lack of daycare facilities. He researched the existing state of daycare in the South and found that most daycare operations were run by individual businesses. He also learned that many of these facilities were located in people's homes. Existing daycare facilities were not set up to provide daycare for a large number of children. Their locations may have been convenient for the owners of the daycare businesses, but they were not convenient for the parents of children. Perry Mendel believed a professionally managed daycare business could be set up that would offer first-class service at locations that were not the way to and from work. Okay. Now, Mendel's KinderCare Incorporated has become the largest daycare business in the free world. Now, that's an example of someone who went out and started a business and built it up into something. In the 1950s, Anthony A. Martino sensed another problem experienced by millions of people at one time or another. He recognized that America had become a society of automobile owners. He also realized that automobiles frequently break down. Antonio Martino analyzed the various auto problems and the extent to which customers were still in search of a business. Anthony Martino listened to the market and found the gap. Sooner or later, most cars needed transmission repair or replacement. He heard the market saying that the people were unable to have their needs met well enough in existing businesses. Auto dealers specialized in selling cars and service stations specialized in selling gasoline. But businesses specializing in transmission repair or replacement, Anthony Martino carefully analyzed customer needs and the nature and extent of competition. He then developed AMCO, Transmission Services. He chose the name AAMCO because it would appear near the beginning of the Yellow Pages section and because it used his initials AAM. His franchise became the world's largest transmission specialist. Kurt Zeibart was another person who saw almost unlimited opportunities created by millions of automobiles. In the 1960s, he recognized people's growing desire to keep their cars longer as a way to beat inflation. He also recognized that car bodies intended to rust out. He developed Zeibart rust-proofing sensors for less than 2% of the price of a new car in one day's time. His rust-proofing process would extend the life of car by a couple of years. The cost-benefit ratio, convenient locations, and one-day service proved to be a benefit ratio, convenient locations, to be a formula for success. There are over 500 Zebra outlets in 44 countries. Ray Kroc had been employed as a food service equipment salesperson. However, when the company he worked for refused to consider distribution of a new five-spindle mixer from Kroc, felt would increase his sales of drink cups, he decided that it was time to start his own business. And we all know what he started, because today that is called McDonald's. And how he started, he obtained the national marketing rights of the mixer and started his own company in 1939. While he was traveling in California, he stopped in to see one of his customers to learn why the customers were buying so many mixers. Then Ray Kroc saw the drive-in restaurant run by the McDonald brothers. He saw more than a place that sold a lot of hamburgers. He saw a concept that would be franchised from coast to coast. And as you realize, the story has been told how the McDonald's brothers did not want to franchise, so Ray Kroc bought them out, and then he was able to make and build McDonald's into a franchise company. Now, in 1947, Burton Baskin and Irv Robbins recognized the population with interest in a variety of vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate ice cream were no longer sufficient to meet the market's interest in different flavors. Remember, you now have Baskin-Robbins. So these are some ideas of some things on how they became what they are today. So it gives you an idea. If you are willing to start a company and you can meet a need that people have, then you, and it's a brick and mortar store and it has potential for growth. The potential is there, but you need to be willing to look at things that you need to look at to make sure it's a successful business. Now, that you have listed problems in the marketplace and identified the corresponding business opportunities, the time has come to determine the capabilities and resources needed for each of the opportunities that may have merit. People often make the mistake of ruling out various opportunities as they develop and review the list generated in step two because they are not familiar with the business or lack of experience in it. They tend to investigate only those areas that they already know as an employee and or as a customer or that they can learn in a short period of time. If you sense an emerging opportunity early and commit yourself to learning as much as possible before you open your business, you will increase your ability to beat the odds. When competitors enter the market, they will not have the experience factor that will enable you to make better decisions. Remember, most new businesses fail because of trial and error management or the lack of market opportunity. If you have the knowledge and experience and are prepared to offer the market segment your target what it wants, then you may be able to beat the odds. And now we're going down into the last few minutes, and I would like to remind you, if you are looking to start a business, then, and you want to learn more and get assistance on how to plan a successful business, then go to my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com, and then I can help you. And it may take a year of coaching to really get you to where you're building a successful business that will be around long-term and not just a month or two, because you want to build a career, not just a job.